I read a really great article this week in the Harvard Business Review, and it was called The Making of a Corporate Athlete. There's a link to it in the notes section of your app if you have our app. And it's a really great article if you want to go in and read it. But here's what really captured my interest in it. The authors who wrote it spent about 2 decades working with these world-class athletes, and what they learned was there's a huge comparison between how athletes train and play and how we work. And what happens is, they said there's the athlete and the executive. No matter what world you're in, the business world, what industry, the home, like wherever you are, we can both have the desire to grow our talents and skills so that we can kind of work at this ideal performance state. And so they took all of this learning that they had in the sports world, and they brought it into the workplace. And here's what they said. They said if people were to perform at high levels over the long haul, we posited they would have to train in the same systematic, multi-level way that world-class athletes do. They said the demands on executives to sustain high performance day in and day out, year in and year out, actually dwarf the challenges faced by an athlete, any athlete they've ever trained. Because if you think about it, an athlete, here was their example, an athlete spends most of their time practicing and training and actually only a small percentage of their time competing. Where the typical working person or whatever industry you're in, we devote almost no time to training and practice, and all of the rest of our time to actually doing and performing and being on demand, sometimes 10 to 12 hours a day, or if you're raising a family, 24 hours a day. And they said what happens is athletes have an off season, a time to take off, refresh, and come back at it, where the average worker maybe gets 3 to 4 weeks of vacation a year. And so what they said is, obviously we can't go join the NFL, they wouldn't take me, right? Like I can't do a career change at this point, but we can't change these external circumstances. We can train ourselves to better manage our inner state. We can work our way through stressful periods of time and come out stronger and healthier. And here's what they said. They said, even eager for the next challenge. Now, I don't know about you, but the last time that I went through something really stressful and hard, like I wasn't eager for more. Were you? Like I wasn't saying, like, God, let's do that again. Like I was saying, God, help me survive, right? Like I can't remember facing stressful challenges and being like, yes, I'm hungry for more. Let's do it again. But what they realized is if we want to operate at our peak performance, whatever corner of the world that we're in, even under pressure, we have to train. We have to train ourselves. And they said the research has found that to do that, this capacity to mobilize your energy on demand is what enables you to do it well. And it's kind of the foundation for their model for this whole idea that they're talking about in this article. Now, here's their idea. You have to be able to move between energy expenditure, which is stress, to energy renewal, which is recovery. And if you think about energy, energy is just the capacity to do work, right? Like we all do things that sucks the energy right out of us. And then we have some things that renews our energy and helps us feel inspired and encouraged and ready to take on more. And here's the example. Obviously, I'm not an athlete, so this was news to me. Maybe you already know this and you're like, duh, obviously. But for me, it was like a little light bulb that went off in my head. They said athletes will lift weights to focus on a specific muscle, and what happens is they're literally stressing the muscle to the point where the fibers start to break down. And then after they stress it really hard, they give it a recovery period, which they said is typically like 48 hours. So what happens is in that recovery time, the muscle doesn't just heal, it actually grows. But if you keep stressing that same muscle, you actually can do damage to it. Or on the opposite end, if you don't do any work on the muscle, what happens is, right, have you ever had to wear a cast before? It weakens and it atrophies from not doing any work at all. And so what they said is the enemy isn't stress. The enemy is being linear and never doing anything one way or the other. That failure to kind of move between stress and recovery. Now, how this looks like this in our lives. We stress and we stress and we stress and we stress and we stress, and we never shift from that stressful period to the period of recovery. So what happens is we push ourselves mentally and emotionally, and without that proper time to rest and recover, we don't grow from it. We burn ourselves out, right? We go through stressful periods of time and we're not eager for more because we're so burnt out. We barely made it through the first time around, let alone ever imagining anything doing hard like that again. But their point is, the problem isn't stress. Stress isn't bad. It just is, right? There's all these different ways to look at it. It's we don't have the rituals built into our life that help us bounce between stress and recovery. We don't have the regular routines that help us move from one phase to the other, how we burn our energy and how we renew it at the same time. So they came up with this pyramid. They call it the high performance pyramid. And they said what happens is when athletes train, right, like a pitcher doesn't just focus on throwing the ball. That's one aspect of his training. He trains his whole body. He does all kinds of work so that he's ready to do the thing that he has to do. And the same thing is true for us. It's not just a matter of getting smarter or trying harder. We have to train ourselves all the way around. And so the foundation of their performance pyramid is actually to train our physical capacity. They gave all of these real life analogies of these people in the business world, and they said, you would be so surprised, somebody who is stressed out and wrung out and unhealthy, they would have them stop and take 20 minute breaks to just go for a walk, just to move their body, and the difference that that made was huge. So we can train ourselves physically to move, we can train ourselves emotionally, right? Like, we don't have to respond the same way. We can grow in our emotional capacity, which leads to growing mentally, right? We do need to learn new things and we do need to try new ideas, which leads to a stronger spiritual capacity. Now, here's the important idea about all of this. We don't just expect to wake up one day and be stress-free, right? Like, in a perfect world, that would be amazing, and I'd, like, high-five God all day if I could, but that doesn't happen, right? Like, I don't go to bed tonight and wake up tomorrow, and everything just goes away, and all my problems are gone, and all the stress isn't there, right? A person doesn't just go to bed one night and wake up a world-class athlete. They work and they train and they discipline themselves to get to the level that they can compete at a high level. But somehow in life, we miss this correlation and we just expect life to change. We just expect to wake up one day and life will be better and things should be good, but we never do the work or the training or the discipline to do anything to help our lives get any better. Now, many of us would say the problem is stress, right? Like, work is hard, or life is hard, or school is hard, or family is hard, or my schedule is impossible. But the same thing that they posited in their article is true for us. The problem isn't stress, it's how we deal with it. The problem isn't the hard things we deal with in life, it's how we bounce between the stress and recovery, between how we spend our energy and how we renew it. Look, we can't change a lot of our external circumstances, but we can absolutely train ourselves. We can do the work that's required to help ourselves grow and figure out how to do life well. And so for the next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about this idea of how do we discipline ourselves? How do we create this inner mental toughness that we don't just bounce back from hard life issues or stress or the day-to-day burden of life, but we grow from it and we come out looking stronger. And today we're going to start with how do we train ourselves to approach it all different? And it's great because 2,000 years ago, Paul had this genius idea in his letter to the Corinthians about the whole comparison between athletes and life as well. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 24. He said, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." So he's got kind of two big ideas that I want us to think about and wrap our heads around today. So he says first this, like, you've seen athletes, right? Like, you've been to the stadium and you've seen them racing, and when the runners are competing, look, they're competing to win. Like, they're not competing to just show up and be like, hey, you got a participation medal, right? Like, they want the prize. They train and they discipline themselves and they exert self-control and self-discipline so that they walk away from the race a winner. They do all this kind of work because they want to be the very best in their field, and they want the high accolades that come with winning. He says the same is also true for life. Every one of us is running the race of life, but not everybody wins. Because look, we woke up this morning, it means we're doing life, right? Like, every single person is doing life. By the very nature of breathing and waking up, we're here. Life is happening. But not everybody is doing life in the kind of way that they're succeeding. Not everybody is doing life in the kind of way, like, they love life and they can't wait to do it again tomorrow, right? Like, they can't wait to bounce back in. But Paul says we could run in the kind of way that we win, that we are excited about this life that we're giving. But to do that, we have to exert self-control in our own lives and discipline ourselves to run in the kind of way that we win. So there's two different ways to approaching life. I mean, there's a lot more, but I'm only going to talk about two today. So one approach is just kind of this, like, coasting through, right? Like, you never really actively engage in your life. Everything just kind of happens to you. You're almost a spectator to your own life. You kind of waste your time through days. You don't really expend a lot of energy. You just kind of go through the motions. It's what you did yesterday. It's what you do tomorrow. It's what you'll do the next day. You don't really get excited or concerned about much. You just kind of clock in your hours and count down until the end of the day. And what happens in this approach is really, like, never trying anything new or trying anything hard or learning anything new or challenging ourselves in any new way. And what happens is this is an approach to life, but it's hard to get excited about, right? Because the goal isn't how do I win? The goal is how do I get as comfortable as I can possibly get and stay there? How do I get to the point that I can just survive with as little pain or as little discomfort as possible? But Paul's saying, what if we just shook that up for a minute? What if we said there's another way to do life that's so much better? Because we weren't created to just coast our way through days. We weren't created to just settle for where we are in the monotonous routine of what we've always done. He said instead, we were created for so much more. Our lives weren't meant to be defined by mediocrity or status quo or just okay, but instead we can run our life in the kind of way that we don't just strive for excellence, we strive to win and to take all of it with us into the next life. Because what happens is we're running for a prize, and the prize isn't a wreath that's going to wither and fall away, and it's not a medal that's going to sit on a shelf and collect dust. The race we're winning, the race we're running to win, is an imperishable prize because it comes with us into eternity. But to do that, to accomplish these lives, we have to be so super intentional about the lives we're living today, about the choices we make right now and the futures that we are creating for ourselves. What happens is doing life differently means I'm saying this God-given life that I have is a gift. It's my gift to use to the fullest of its ability. And I'm not just trying to survive long enough to make it to the end, but instead, how do we thrive and grow in the process? Because we were absolutely created to do life with joy and expectation. We were absolutely created to live life to its fullest. But to do that, to accomplish that, to live that out, we have to exert self-control, self-discipline into our daily lives, which means I'm required to make choices every single day. I mean, we make them whether we are actively or passively making them, but when we grab this life and say, I want to do it to the fullest, I'm saying I make my choices not based on what's easiest at the moment, but based on what's going to help me accomplish the very most out of this life that I want to live. It means I have to say no to some things so I can say yes to better ones. It means I have to deny myself in certain areas so that I can go all in the other ones. And Paul's point is, if athletes are willing to do this, they're willing to discipline themselves, their bodies, to run a race and win a prize, why in the world wouldn't we be willing to do that for a life that is worth so much more? For a life that is so much longer than just a passing moment where we win and feel the triumph. Because that's the goal. The goal is, how do I live the very best life that God has created me for? And we cannot be effective until we have ourselves under control first. So that's Paul's first idea. But then his second idea is this: how do we do that? How do we make that happen, right? Like, if that's the goal and that's where we want to be, how do we arrange our lives in the kind of way that helps make that possible? Look at what he says in verse 26. He says, "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Right? We aren't running without a goal. We aren't running without a destination. The destination is, we have determined what kind of a person we're going to be, right? I'm going to be this kind of a man. I'm going to be this kind of a woman. And then we're running full force into that. And it's the matter of really clearly deciding this is our purpose in life and then hitting it as hard as we can, giving it all that we have. But that is self-discipline that requires us to live on purpose. Because without knowing who we are and without knowing our purpose, we're just drifting along and coasting through our days. But instead, we're saying, I can take control of my life right now, today, and say, this is who I'm going to be and this is how I'm going to do it. Say, I am fully committed inside, outside, all the way around to be this kind of person. And then hold ourselves accountable to that standard, right? Because here's the hard part. And maybe you've ever, I don't know if you've ever set a goal before, or you've ever tried something too hard for you before. We are our worst enemies, right? Like, I hate running to the core. I know some people, like, they run and they get like all those endorphins kick in and it makes them happy. And I hate it. It makes me grouch me and it makes me want to say not kind things. It's just not in me. I'll do it, but I don't like doing it, right? But what happens is, when you're trying something that's too hard, you get to a point where you want to quit. And in that moment, we are our worst enemies. Because what are we saying to ourselves, right? Our inner dialogue is, of course you should quit. This was a terrible idea. You didn't know you were going to feel this bad when you started, right? We have all of these things that we make excuses, and all of a sudden we're like, you know what? That was a terrible goal. I don't even know why you said it. It was a bad decision. You should stop right now. Or we start saying things that make it okay to not do what we said we would do, or we reason ourselves out of why we said it was important. And then we have all of these inner dialogues when we're trying things too hard that say, why would you ever try that? You're not good enough. You're not, all those not enoughisms that run through our head, right? Like, you're never going to be anything. Why would you even try? And this is where I want you to get this image that Paul gives us in this verse, because it's so good. He says, I'm not disciplining, right? He says, I don't box as one beating in the air. He said, I'm not disciplining myself like I'm swinging at just empty threats. He said, I'm actually punching my own self into submission. Okay, he's not physically punching himself. Stay with me, because it's an analogy, right? Like, don't punch yourself. Don't go home and say, Katie Brown told me to punch myself, because it's not true. Stay with the analogy, right? Okay, boxers beat and they condition their body. And he's saying, I take that example and I layer it into my own life. I am absolutely disciplining myself and holding myself accountable, because my life has to be in submission to who I say I want to be. Otherwise, I will find 1,000 excuses to quit. I will have a bajillion reasons why it doesn't matter, but I refuse to let that inner voice that is crap just rain on the parade and ruin the goals that we've set for ourselves. That voice doesn't get the final say, right? Instead, what we're saying is, God said I could be so much more. He gave me this life. Then he gave me Christ to make life even better. And if God could give me all that, why couldn't I do the work required to live my life to the very best? and set a standard that says, no matter what, this is the girl, this is the guy I'm going to be because it's who Christ said I could be, right? I won't let myself off the hook. I won't quit. I won't give up. But it does not happen without effort. It does not come without work and training and discipline. We don't just stumble our way into our best lives. We train for them. We practice for them. We discipline ourselves to be ready for them. And look, it's not easy, but it's worth it. Nobody ever became a champion without putting in the work and the hours and the training to get there. I listened to this great podcast by John Maxwell, called it The Price Tag of Leadership, and he said this. He said, everything worthwhile is uphill. Because think about it, right? Have you ever been like trying to get somewhere and it feels like you have been climbing uphill the entire way? Again, I don't like stressing my body that way, so I want to quit, right? But he said, everything that's worth it is at the top of that hill. And everything good that we want for our lives, for our families, for our communities, for our careers, for our church, everything is at the top of the hill. And if we want to get there, it takes work to climb the mountain. It takes work to get ourselves up there. But if it's worthwhile, expect it to be an uphill climb. If it matters, why shouldn't it take work to accomplish it, right? But he said, the problem is we have downhill habits. Everything worthwhile is at the top of the hill, but our habits are downhill habits, right? We don't want to do the work. We want to work. He said what happens is we want to work and then we want to coast, right? Like, I want to work for 3 months and then I want 9 months off. Like, that seems fair reasoning in my head, which is probably why I'm terrible at exercising and diet, because it doesn't work, right? We have these downhill habits and they don't get us to the top. Or what happens is we look at other people and we're like, well, why do they have it so easy? Why isn't this hard for them? Why don't they have to do the work that I have to do, right? And then we quit. And we quit before we should. And we let ourselves off the hook before we ever get to where we were supposed to be. But he said the only way up that hill is self-discipline. And what we're saying is, look, I'm not comparing myself to anybody else's race. Their race is different. And God only knows what they had to go through to get where they are. And we miss it because we look at their polished, beautiful, wonderful, finished, and we're like in the ugly, sweaty trenches middle. And we're like, they didn't have to do what I had to do. But the only way we gain control over ourselves is discipline. It's the only thing that gets us to where we want to be. And what that layers into is my responsibility. What are the choices I'm making? What am I doing? What am I acting on, right? Because that's up to me. And I would love to have somebody to blame it on. But look, we're not children. We are adults, and we are fully responsible for our life. And if I don't like where I am, if I don't like how things are happening around me, then I change my actions. I change my choices. I change my behaviors to get me to where I want to be. Let me give you a couple more things that John Maxwell said, because they're really good. He said, self-discipline is the bridge between good intentions and good actions, right? Like, we have good intentions. We want to do all of these good things, but if we don't act on them, it's just wishful thinking. It doesn't matter how good our intentions are. If we never do anything with them, they don't count. Only the actions that we do. He said, self-discipline makes habit your servant instead of your master. And then here's the last thing he said. I want to leave it. He said, a lack of self-discipline is a lack of knowing what you want in life. So now we have to say, okay, how do we do this? How do we make this show up? If I'm ready to like say, yes, I want to go in and I want to live life to the fullest and I want to discipline myself, how do we actually do it? I'm going to give us two things that I want us to work on this week. In each one of these two things, I'm going to give us some questions to think our way through with it. But here's the deal. This isn't something that you can figure out in 20, 30 minutes while you're here. This is the kind of thing that you have to take home and you got to like think about it and wrestle with it and stew on it a little bit. So write it down, or it's on the app, or text it to yourself, and then find somewhere this week an hour or two to just sit down and think your way through these things, because I really think the answers help. And when you do, it clarifies why this all matters. Okay, so here's number one, run with a purpose. If we don't know our purpose, it's very hard to be self-disciplined. If we don't know where we're going, if we don't know what we want out of life, it's hard to know why it really matters. And this is key, because there will be days when we want to quit. And if we aren't clinging with all that we have to the why this matters, it's easy to let it go. If we don't know what we want in life, it's hard to stay the course. Sometimes we're not even sure we're on the right racetrack, right? Like, we might have showed up to the wrong race and we need to be 3 hours somewhere else. But knowing our purpose first helps us focus on why this all matters. And the better I'm able to know who I am, the better able we are to manage our life and stick with it over time. So we have to figure out, what is our purpose? Because friends, nobody is here by an accident. Nobody is here by chance. God put you here in this life, in this time, in this community, in this place where you are. God put you here. Now, how do you make the very, very most out of it? And I don't know if you've ever tried, maybe you know this answer. Maybe you're like, solid, I got it, easy, I'm running to it. Or maybe you've never tried this before. I find this hard, to be perfectly honest. If you find this easy, I'm proud of you and thankful for you. I don't. I sit down with a piece of paper and I'm like, I don't know who I am. That's a big piece of blank paper looking back at me. And so what we start with is we start defining ourselves by what we do, right? It's easy to think about all of the things that we do, but we are more than that. What we do is an awesome expression of who we are, but we are more than just the things that we do. So I want you to think through these three questions. Write them down, text them to yourself. Like I said, they're in your app, but these are the three things I want us to start with. Number one, what do I really want? If you've never asked yourself this question, it is a great place to start. Sometimes the answers start real small. Like, I would like a full night's sleep. It's honest. I would like to be able to eat whatever I would like to eat with zero repercussions. I get it. It is a figment of my imagination, but I want it. Okay, so we have to do a second question to follow up with that. Why do I want this? I get it. I want shortcuts, but shortcuts don't work. All right, what do I really want to the core of who I am? Yes, there are things that I want, but those are like this month things in my life. When I think about who I am and what God has made me to be and the experiences that I've had and where I'm at today, what do I really, really want? But then my filter for this question is why? Why do I want this? And here's where I get to weed some of these things out, because I'm tired, right? That's a great one, but move on. Why do I really want the things that I want? And then the last one of this is, how do I achieve it? Because a lot of times we set these lofty goals and we have no idea how to get there, right? I want this, but how do I accomplish it? And I want to simplify this process for you. And I'm going to oversimplify it, but it's a place to start that I don't want us to miss. Okay, if you've never done this before, it's a great thing. If I say, for example, I want to be healthy. Why do I want it? Because I feel like garbage when I'm not healthy, right? How do I achieve it? Now, it can feel like a big, lofty goal unless you're already a healthy person, which again, God bless you, but it takes work for me. I have to chunk this out in steps. To be a healthy person, what do I have to do? Well, the first one is I have to eat a certain way, because if I don't eat a certain way, I feel like trash. I don't like feeling like trash, so if I don't eat this way, I know how I feel. If I eat this way, I know how I feel. Totally up to me. Can't blame it on anybody else. So the first step is I have to eat a certain way. Then I have to exercise, even if I hate it. Then I have to get enough sleep. So I have steps that I start with. I start here. I figure out, if I have to eat a certain way, what do I have to do to make that work? How do I have to grocery shop? How do I have to cook? How do I have to plan? So you start breaking it out in chunks that are very doable. This week I can focus on what I eat. Okay, maybe getting healthy isn't your thing. Maybe you're like, okay, I want to have this dream job. Like, it's always the job that I've wanted to get. How do you get the job? Well, it starts with training. What training do I need to have to be prepared for the job? Then I got to network with people. Who do I know that is either in the industry or know somebody in the industry and they can help get me in the right direction? Then I got to figure out, how do I build a resume? How do I go on interviews? So instead of saying it's so unattainable, I start saying, here are four things I can work on right now to push myself in that direction. Does that make sense? Maybe it's your family, right? Like, I want to be a good parent. And shockingly enough, I didn't wake up a parent one day with all the knowledge in my head, right? It feels like I should have. Like, the second I had a baby, it feels like a magic light should have gone off and I should know how to do everything, because parents should know these things. But I don't. And so I have to figure out, what do I need to read? I read every single baby book I could get my hand on. I'm not kidding. I actually had Babies for Dummies. I read that book because I felt like a dummy. And I needed to know, like, what are the things I have to do? And then my kids get older, so I have to learn new things, right? Like, I can't treat them like they're newborns anymore. Again, crazy town, feels like I should. But I have to read things and I have to try new ideas, because some things work for a period of time and then they stop working. And then I have to try new things. And I got to figure out our schedule, because if our schedule isn't right, life is chaos. And when life is chaos, nobody's happy, right? I got to work on me and figure out problem areas. And my. So there are pieces that we start breaking it down to that are very actionable and things that we can do, right? I want to write a book. Guess what? The first thing you do is put words on paper. Might be a great idea in your head, but unless you write something down, we don't have a book. So we can say there's something I want to do, and then the how do I achieve it is I start chunking it out in very actionable pieces that I can actually start working on. All right. Try that this week. If you've never done that for yourself, even if you don't like your answers, you've at least got yourself further ahead than you are right now to think your way through it. And I promise, when you spend time thinking like this, it is so helpful to getting where you want to be. Because the second one is discipline. All right, I have to run with a purpose, which means I have to know my purpose. I have to know who I am. I have to know what I want, and I have to know why do I want it and how do I get there? Because discipline is the work we do to get there. Discipline is the actual, like, control of ourselves that gets us to where we want to be. If I know what I want and I know why I want it, what is the work, right? If these are the steps I have to do, what is the work I do to make these things happen? Because then I know how to achieve it, and now I can focus on what I'm going to do. If anything in our life is going to change, I have to change first. Nothing else changes until we change ourselves. And so we start with, this is who I am. And I am the person who, ... right? We fill in, this is who we are. So here are the questions that I want to give us to ask in this section. Number one, what am I willing to do to make this happen? If this is what I really, really want, and my why matters because it's worth it, right? Then I have to say, what am I willing to give to see it happen? What sacrifices am I willing to make to actually bring this into life? And once I know this, then I got to look even more personally close, because I have to say, what are the new habits I need to get me there, right? What new habits do I need to create that will help me further myself along? But the other side of it is, what are the old habits, the bad habits that I need to break? Because somewhere along the way, I got comfortable with these and they just became part of who I am, but they weren't ever supposed to be. And they're not helping me. They're only holding me back and dragging me down. So what are the bad ones, the old ones I need to get rid of and replace them with the new ones that push me in the direction of where I want to go? Which means for this to happen, I start with these ideas. But then I put them into practice by actually changing my schedule, my routine, what I do on a daily basis. So these things that I say matter and they're who I am and who I want to be, they start to show up in what we do regularly, which means, what can I do today? What's one thing I can do today to make this happen? Or what can I do this week? What can I do this month? What needs to happen this year so I can get where I want to be? I've been on a big Rachel Hollis kick lately. I don't know if you're familiar with Rachel Hollis. She wrote some books. She has a really cool podcast. She interviews great leaders, great authors, great people. She has an awesome story. She moved to LA when she was like 19 years old. She started her own business. She's part of these huge companies doing all of these great things. So I've been on a big Rachel Hollis kick. I fell down the rabbit hole of YouTube videos, and I watched a ton of YouTube videos. Some of them were really good, so I don't feel like it was all wasted time. Some of it was wasted time. But I love, they're doing this thing, and it's called The Last 90 Days, and I just signed up for it. So I'm sharing it with us because I want to challenge us with something hard, something doable today. And what they said is, if you do something for 21 days, it becomes a habit. If you want to start a new habit, you have to do it for 21 days, and it starts to become a habit. But if you do something for 90 days, it starts to become part of who you are. And here's why this is interesting. October 1st, I think, is Tuesday. And that means there are 90 days till the end of the year. From October 1st till the end of 2019, it's gross how fast this year went, but there are 90 days left. And what if we finished our year off strong? What if instead of just rolling into next year, we kind of set ourselves up for success instead? Now, I try to set goals every year. I don't know if you do like New Year's resolutions, or you set goals for yourself, and maybe you're like, not there. Maybe you didn't accomplish those goals that you set, or maybe you got halfway there, and you're dogged, and you're tired, and you don't want to go one step further. What if instead of just throwing in the towel, we say, I've got 90 days left to set myself up for success, so that when I start next year, I'm farther ahead than I would have been otherwise? I love it. She said it's a great time to do it for a few reasons. Here's the three reasons she gave. She said, first, because the last 3 months tend to be the most stressful of the entire year, and if you don't have a plan, you'll resort to negative behavior. The second reason, she said, is because the last 3 months of the year are typically when you interact with extended family, and if that family is stressful at best or toxic at worst, and you don't have a plan to deal with them, you will become the worst version of yourself around them. You all have pictures in your head right now. You know this is true. All right, here's the third one. So because the last 3 months of the year are typically when we make the worst decisions regarding our health. We eat more, drink more, and move less. If you don't have a plan, you'll reach for bad coping mechanisms. So here's what they propose. What if instead of doing that, we get super intentional about these last 90 days? What if we say, for the next 90 days, I'm going to discipline myself to do life different, right? I'm going to think through my purpose and who I am and who I want to be and the work it's going to take me to accomplish it. I'm going to focus on who we want to become and how we're going to get there. And one of the suggested ways that they give us is this idea called the 5 to Thrive Challenge. And it's some 5 things you have to do every day. Because remember, we're training ourselves. And we're not just training one aspect of ourselves. We're training our whole selves physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually. So here's 5 things that we're going to do every day to get ourselves healthy and focused. Number one, get up an hour earlier than you normally do. This is my hardest one, I'm not going to lie. Because I get up early. And my life starts early. But everything I've ever read or ever studied or ever heard says if you want to make up time somewhere, you don't make it up at the end of the day, you make it up at the beginning of the day. Because typically what happens is we're like, I'm just going to stay up later and get everything done that needs to get done, right? And then we go to the next day and we're exhausted and we didn't make up the time, we got the work done, but it was a cost to ourselves. So what they say is instead of staying up later, get up earlier and do the work then and you'll be further ahead of it. But get up an hour earlier than you normally do and use the time for yourself. This is huge. This is a space that you get to block out that's not being currently used right now other than sleeping. But what if this is the time that you said, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to study that book that I've been reading, right? This space isn't to clean the house or get caught up at work or get caught up on anything else. It's just time that you are intentional about yourself. What if this space that you create becomes the place where you get to grow more with God and who he's called you to be? The second one is work out for at least 30 minutes. The third one is drink half of your body weight in ounces of water each day. Do the math. It's different. All right. The fourth one is give up one food category you know you shouldn't be eating. And then here's the last one. Write down 5 things that you're grateful for every single day. Now, I look at this list, and some of these are like, no problem, check. I can do that for 90 days. Other ones of them, I'm like, dear Jesus, I'm going to need a little bit of help for 90 days because it's a stretch for me. But here's why I'm trying it. I bought the journal. I signed up for the emails. Like, I'm doing this. You can ask me about it, and I'll be honest. I'll tell you the days that I did it and the days that I didn't because I'm sure there will be days. But here's why I'm trying. What do I have to lose? I mean, honestly, just to try something like this, what is it really going to cost me to make these challenges on myself? I know where I'm at today, and what is it going to cost me to actually put some work and effort into who I am and who I want to be for 90 days? Because what if we create this kind of discipline in our life, the kind of space that we need, and it helps move us forward? What if by just doing these disciplines, we're one step closer to who we want to become? So I'm challenging you to try it as well. Write them down. You can look it up, hashtag last 90 days, somewhere on the internet. It's on the app in our notes if you want the 5. What if we made this plan to be more disciplined in our lives for the next 90 days? I mean, what might happen? What might God do, or what might God change in who we are and who we want to become? Because this is why this all matters. This is our life right now. It is not anybody else's, it is ours. And nobody gets to determine for us how big we can dream or how small they think we should be. We get to decide who we want to become and then give our entire lives to that purpose. And our time is not an endless commodity. It is measured. And it feels like at moments that it's going to stretch on endlessly, and it feels like at other moments that it is so short we don't even know how to catch up. But our time is limited. So why are we waiting? What are we saving ourselves for? What are we holding out for, right? Like, there is a big moment, and the big moment is today, right now. Not someday, not somewhere, not someplace down the line, but right now, today, we get to live this one very precious life that God gave us to live. And look, we don't get a practice round. We don't get a warm-up round around the track. Right now is our track. This is our race and our moment where God wants to do his very best work in our lives, where God wants to do his best work in our homes and in our neighborhoods and in our jobs and in our church. God wants to use these moments right now. And what if, just what if God is looking for men and women like us to bless? What if God is saying right now that he's just waiting for us to make the commitment to try so he can show up and pour out extra grace and extra favor and extra blessing on us that we can see our way through to keeping these commitments? Not settling for anything, but sacrificing and working and disciplining ourselves to give all that we have for him. Because here's what I know. When I stand with Jesus one day, it'll happen one day, not today, but someday. When I stand with Jesus, I would rather have failed trying too many things than having to explain why I settled for so much less than who he's created us to be. And friends, I want the same for you as well. God created you for an incredible purpose. Let's figure it out and let's go run this race that God has given us with all that we have. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us today. I pray that you would stir up within us a passion to try. I pray, Father, that we would not settle for mediocrity. I pray that we would not give up on the dreams that you've inspired in our hearts, but you would stir up courage and passion and strength in us to step up this week and figure out who you've called us to be. Create the right training and the right discipline and the right work in our life to live out these divine desires that you've given us. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on Christ Church, please check us out on the web at www.christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, please contact us at 440-236 8282. Until next time, blessings to you.